Saga Egmont presents To Cut a Long Story Short by Geoffrey Archer. Read by Leighton Pugh and Joan Walker.
Death Speaks. There was a merchant in Baghdad who sent his servant to market to buy provisions, and in a little while the servant came back, white and trembling, and said, "Master, just now when I was in the marketplace, I was jostled by a woman in the crowd. And when I turned, I saw it was Death that jostled me. She looked at me and made a threatening gesture. Now, lend me your horse, and I will ride away from this city and avoid my fate. I will go to Samarra, and there Death will not find me." The merchant lent him his horse, and the servant mounted it, and he dug his spurs in its flanks, and as fast as the horse could gallop, he went. Then the merchant went down to the marketplace. And he saw me standing in the crowd, and he came to me and said, "Why did you make a threatening gesture to my servant when you saw him this morning?" "That was not a threatening gesture," I said. "It was only a start of surprise. I was astonished to see him in Baghdad, for I had an appointment with him tonight in Samarra." The Expert Witness. This story is based on a known incident.
"Damn good drive," said Toby as he watched his opponent's ball sail through the air. "Must be every inch of 230, perhaps even 250 yards," he added, as he held up his hand to his forehead to shield his eyes from the sun and continued to watch the ball bouncing down the middle of the fairway.
"Thank you," said Harry.
"What did you have for breakfast this morning, Harry?" Toby asked when the ball finally came to a halt. "A row with my wife," came back his opponent's immediate reply. "She wanted me to go shopping with her this morning. I'd be tempted to get married if I thought it would improve my golf that much," said Toby as he addressed his ball. "Damn," he added a moment later, as he watched his feeble effort squirt towards the heavy rough no more than 100 yards from where he stood. Toby's game did not improve on the back nine, and when they headed for the clubhouse just before lunch, he warned his opponent, "I shall have to take my revenge in court next week." "I do hope not," said Harry, with a laugh. "Why's that?" asked Toby as they entered the clubhouse. "Because I'm appearing as an expert witness on your side," Harry replied as they sat down for lunch. "Funny," Toby said. "I could have sworn you were against me." Sir Toby Gray QC and Professor Harry Bamford were not always on the same side when they met up in court. "All manner of persons who have anything to do before my lords, the Queen's justices, draw near and give your attendance." The Leeds Crown Court was now sitting. Mr. Justice Fenton presided. Sir Toby eyed the elderly judge. A decent and fair man, he considered, though his summings up could be a trifle long-winded. Mr. Justice Fenton nodded down from the bench. Sir Toby rose from his place to open the defence case. "May it please your lordship, members of the jury, I am aware of the great responsibility that rests on my shoulders. To defend a man charged with murder can never be easy. It is made even more difficult when the victim is his wife, to whom he had been happily married for over 20 years. This the Crown has accepted, indeed formally admitted. My task is not made any easier, my lud," continued Sir Toby, "when all the circumstantial evidence so adroitly presented by my learned friend Mr. Rogers in his opening speech yesterday would on the face of it make the defendant appear guilty. However," said Sir Toby, grasping the tapes of his black silk gown and turning to face the jury, "I intend to call a witness whose reputation is beyond reproach. I am confident that he will leave you, members of the jury, with little choice but to return a verdict of not guilty. I call Professor Harold Bamford." A smartly dressed man wearing a blue, double-breasted suit, white shirt and a Yorkshire County Cricket Club tie entered the courtroom and took his place in the witness box. He was presented with a copy of the New Testament and read the oath with a confidence that would have left no member of the jury in any doubt that this wasn't his first appearance at a murder trial.